the book of Exodus tonight, Exodus chapter 35. I preached on the opening 29 verses of this chapter this morning, Exodus chapter 35, verse 1 through 29. So we'll pick up our study in Exodus chapter 35, verse 30 tonight, going through chapter 36, verse 7. Exodus chapter 35, verse 30, through chapter 36, verse 7. If you're keeping notes with me, I want to read one verse of Scripture to get our title. It's found in chapter 36, verse 4. The Word of God says, "And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made." Notice the phrase, "the work of the sanctuary." The work of the sanctuary. I'm going to preach to you on that subject tonight from verse 30 down through chapter 36, verse 7. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to preach again. Thank you for the privilege of having another service that we can set aside to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that you receive honor tonight with the way that your word is preached, the way it's obeyed, the way it's respected. May you be honored tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we come to this portion of Scripture, as we just study this book together, Moses has received specific instructions concerning the making of the tabernacle. The tabernacle, I remind you, that would house the presence of the God of heaven in their midst. Now, this sanctuary, it's called the sanctuary in this particular passage, the tabernacle, was of utmost importance to the Lord and was to be the same for his people. Now, the people have already been instructed to bring a free will offering. We preached on that this morning, to help make the tabernacle. Now, in the passage before us now, we see some things that are a challenge and a blessing concerning the work of the sanctuary, the work of the house of God. As I was studying these verses, the Lord pointed out the many times that you'll find the word work in this passage. If you'll follow me here, it's found in chapter 35, verse 32. It's found in chapter 35, verse 33. It's found in chapter 35, verse 35. It's found in chapter 36, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7. And may I say this to you? The work of the sanctuary was truly a work to be done. It does not and it did not call for lazy people, but rather it called the people of God to come together to rally with a mind and heart to work in the house of God. And let me say, it is a privilege to be part of the work of the sanctuary, the work of the house of God, the house that's set apart to be recognized as a place where God meets with his people. No doubt we can apply these following points I'm going to give you tonight concerning the work of the sanctuary to all of God's work. But especially the Lord laid it on my heart about the work, applying this to the work of the church today. The work of this local assembly. Let me say this to you, God does not dwell in a building. God dwells in his people today. I am the house of God, you are the house of God. But we can apply this truth to this, that this place is set apart, this local church is set apart for the glory of God. And it's set apart where we come together and beg God to meet with us, right? So we can apply these truths to the work of the house of God today. So as we bring these thoughts out, simple truths tonight, simple, ask the Lord to speak to your heart. And may we all get involved in the greatest work in the universe. And that work is the work of God. And let me give you three simple things about the work of the sanctuary here in this passage that we're simply applying to the work of the church today. Everybody with me? Here we go. Number one, the work of the sanctuary, number one now, included God's people. Included God's people. Look at chapter 35 and look at verse number 30. "And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Look at verse 34. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Look at chapter 36. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Now the first major thing the Lord spoke to me about in my study, just challenged me, was this thought of how he included his people in his great work. Friends, he specifically called Bezalel by name. He called, I'm talking about these people here in chapter 35 and verse number 34. It says, and Aholiab, he called Aholiab to help. He called Bezalel by name. And along with this, he called every wise-hearted man whose heart was stirred to get involved. They all found a place in this holy work of the sanctuary. Now get this. In this we see a God-called leader, Bezalel. In this we see a God-called helper. His name is Aholiab. In this we see unnamed workers, people we don't even know what their names are. But all three groups of those people right there were included in the work of the sanctuary. Here's what I'm trying to say. The point here is the Lord, in his grace and mercy, allowed his people, some specifically called, others simply using their gifts for the work, but he allowed his people to have the privilege to help in his great work. Now get this. Even though this is a brief point, don't miss the emphasis here that it is an exalted privilege to be included in God's work. Whether you are a God-called leader, whether you're a God-called helper, or whether you're an unnamed worker, it does not matter. God includes different people to get the work of God done in his own will. Here's what I'm trying to say. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. But he's chosen to include me. He's chosen to allow me to help in his work. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across here? He included his people. He didn't say, you all just go over there and suck on some Gatorade. Just take it easy. I've got this one by myself. He didn't do that. He said, this is a great work, and I want to include you in it. That's a privilege. That's a blessing. I like what Tom Sexton said. He's as crazy as a turkey gobbler, friends. But I like what he said. He said in the book of Esther, there are four animals used to carry the messages to the ends of the kingdom in Esther chapter 8, verse 10. You'll read there that they used horseback, they used mules, they used camels, and they used young dromedaries. He said horses can go to nearby areas very quickly. Mules can go up into mountains and down into valleys where horses cannot go. Camels can carry heavy burdens over great distances, but dromedaries can go great distances faster than camels can. The dromedary can run 18 hours a day. I guarantee you this, if I'm an animal, I'm not a dromedary. Everybody say amen there. And may I say this, in the book of Esther, it took all four of those animals to get the message to the people as quickly as possible. And may I say this to you, this is the point here. God gives different people different talents. Some he calls by name to lead, some he calls by name to help, and others he just has gifted them in certain areas of life to bring their gift to the altar like I preached this morning. They don't even know what their names are. They're unnamed workers, but God included them in his work. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I'm telling you, it is a privilege to be included in the work of the sanctuary. What a privilege, what an honor that God has chosen to allow me to get involved in helping in his work. Then number two, not only this work included God's people, but number two, this work insisted upon God's enabling. Now look at these verses. Look at chapter 35, verse 31. Verse 30 talks about the Lord hath called Bezalel, then verse number 31, and he, that's the Lord, hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver and brass and cutting of stones, to set them in carving of wood, to make any manner of work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple, in scarlet and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. Look at chapter 36, verse 1. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man. Notice this now. In whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. Verse 2. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man. Notice it now. In whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. Do you see it? Do you see it? God said through Moses, I've called Bezalel, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. And because of that, he has the wisdom, he has the understanding, he has the knowledge, and I've put in him how he knows how to do all the work that I've called him to do. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends. We don't need to miss this point right here. This point is this. Don't miss it. God's work depends on God's ability. God's work, not man's, God's work. The house of God, the work of the tabernacle, the work of God is not dependent on me. It's dependent on him. Notice in these verses how the Lord enabled all the workers with everything they needed to get the job done he called them to do. The Bible says the Lord filled Bezalel. You know what the word filled means? It means it's more than adequate. It's enough. And filled him with his Spirit. And because he was Spirit-filled, he got wisdom. You see the language? It's not he filled him with the Spirit of God and filled him with the Spirit of wisdom. No, he filled him with the Spirit of God, and out of that he got wisdom. Out of that he got understanding. Out of that he got knowledge. Out of that he got all manner of workmanship. Get this, my friends. The Lord put wisdom in the other workers and in Bezalel and in Aholiab to get this job done. The work that God demanded Moses and these people to do did not depend on their know-how. Rather, it depended on God's enabling them to get the work done. When God commands a work to be done, he always gives the ability to get it done. He always does. With God's call comes God's enabling. It takes the filling of the Holy Spirit of God and his gracious gifts from the Holy Spirit of God of wisdom and understanding and knowledge to do what he calls us to do. Dr. Lee Robertson put it this way, it's the difference in men. Men and women who are used of God are filled with the Holy Spirit. And people who are not mightily used of the Lord are not filled with the Spirit of God. The Lord wanted beautiful, magnificent furniture. We've already studied it earlier in Exodus. Remember how beautiful it's going to be? Beautiful, magnificent furniture. Certain specific things here, and it's got to go there and make it blue, make it this long. I mean, it was very minute. And friends, may I say this to you? Unless God gifted individuals in that congregation to do it, the work would have never been done. May I put it this way? I'm not done with this point, but let me just put it this way. If God has a work for this church to do, God will gift the people somewhere in the congregation to get it done. If there's no gifts for it, God didn't call us to do it. Amen. But if God calls us to do it, then we need to get on our face and say, God, fill me with the Spirit of God. And I give myself to you. Use me and use my gifts and my talents that come from you anyway. And do something mighty for your glory and your honor. Those who are selected by God are also supplied by God. Do you understand that? Those that God selects, He supplies everything they need. Filled with the Spirit of God, they were completely equipped for the task before them. God gives His people the gifts they need to accomplish His will. Now, in this thought, let us consider how God's enabling is appropriate right here in this chapter for what God had called them to do. I like what one man said. He said, when God needed a builder to build the tabernacle, He called a builder. When God needs a piano player, He will not call me, I'll guarantee it. He'll call a piano player. When God needs a truck driver, He'll call a truck driver. Now get this now. Let this speak to your heart. If you find yourself in a task for which you do not have the skills, you are either out of your calling or you have been delinquent in preparing for your calling. God will not call you to a task that you cannot do. He doesn't work that way. J. Vernon McGee said, we do not have all the same talents and gifts. He said, there's a wrong impression circulating in the church today that if you cannot sing in the choir, teach a Sunday school class, speak publicly, or be an usher, you are pretty much out of the picture. I think there are literally hundreds of gifts that God gives to men to serve. It is up to the individual to determine what is his gift. Whatever gift God has given you, He would like the Spirit of God to take it and use it for His service. May I say this to you? God never gives furlough in His work. I'm talking about He will never give retirement from His work. Not against missionaries who take furlough. They need to. Not against people who retire. Some of them need to. But that does not mean they retire on God. And that does not mean they take furlough on God. That means the work of God is constant all the time. You say, who's He want to use? Everybody who's breathing, glory to God. If you're breathing, He's gifted you to do something. Not for you, but for the work of the sanctuary. And have you brought it and offered it to Him to use for His glory? Zechariah 4:6 says, then He answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what we need? We need builders who are Spirit-filled. You know what we need? We need housewives who are Spirit-filled. You know what we need? We need teachers who are Spirit. I'm talking about school teachers who are Spirit-filled. We need police officers who are Spirit-filled. We need construction workers who are Spirit-filled. We need engineers who are Spirit-filled. We need all these. Just put your name there. Whatever gifts you have, we need you, Spirit-filled, because God can use you in His work somehow, some way, with what He's gifted you to do. I'm glad it's that way. This is the way the work of God is. It insists upon God's enabling. It includes God's people, but it insists upon God's enabling. You cannot do it without the Spirit of Almighty God. We need God to get it done. Now, before I move away from this point, I want to challenge you with something that the Lord showed me in this. Did He gift Bezalel to do the work? Yes? Yes. Did He gift Aholiab? Yes. Did He gift these wise-hearted men? Yes, but let me show you something. The Word of God tells us something here. Look at chapter 35 and verse 34. And He hath put in His heart that He may teach. Boy, look at that. He's talking about Bezalel. God put in Bezalel's heart everything he needed to make everything that the tabernacle required. But God also put in his heart to teach what he had to other people. This is a beautiful, beautiful thought here. Beautiful truth that comes out. That he put into his heart and into the heart of Aholiab that what I've gifted them to do, and how they know how to work in blue, and they know how to work in gold, and they know how to work in metals and cloths. I've put that in them, and I have given them a desire to teach others also. Friends, this is so worthy to bring this out here without skipping over it. This means the Lord gave them the skill to teach their trade to others so that the work could be done quicker, faster. One man said, not only were the chief craftsmen to be able to design and construct, but they must also teach others to do the same. I like what Tom Sexton said. He said the Lord called Moses to do something that was impossible for one man to do. He called him to build the tabernacle. Moses, up on the mountain, I want you to build the tabernacle. Moses, in his right mind, realized immediately, this is way bigger than me. Amen. This is bigger than I can do. It's bigger than a man can do. The building of the tabernacle in the wilderness was going to require everybody's involvement. Bezalel was going to teach the children of Israel how to do what God had called them to do. He was their teacher. Bezalel knew what to teach, and he had a heart to teach the people. The only way that truth goes from generation to generation is for someone to teach it. If we do not teach the next generation what we have been taught, it will be lost. Thank the Lord for the people who teach others how to do the work of the Lord. May I say this to you? God does not give His gifts to people for His work to use in a vacuum. He does not gift you to work in the house of God so you can sit over here and just do your own little thing and just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep... No! You're missing it. God, the Holy Spirit of God, will teach you things, fill you, show you things, how to do that and how to take care of that. And can I apply it this way? How to teach, or how to win souls to Christ, or how to hang sheetrock, or I'm just pulling things out of the, I'm just out of the blue here. I mean, hey, what do you know that can be used for God that you can teach somebody else how to do it? You know, one of my burdens for this local church is for those who've been gifted by God to live beyond themselves, to search for somebody that they can teach them how to do this. So if they drop dead, it just keeps on going for the glory of God. You know what a biblical leader does not do? He does not build anything on himself. Let me emphasize, if I drop dead of a heart attack, and this church crumbled, I don't think it would. Honestly, I don't. But if it did, that's an indictment on my leadership. That's an indictment against me. Because a biblical leader does not build it on himself. He's constantly trying to train others, teach others, show them what God's taught him. And it's interesting that among the things that the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit of God did for Bezalel and Aholiab, among all those things, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, it also said, oh, and by the way, he put into his heart to teach. Don't miss that. That's a powerful thought. Teach others also. This is what Paul told Timothy. The same things that thou hast heard among me, that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Number one, this work included God's people. God in His grace said, this is a great work, and I want you to be included. I want you to help. Isn't that precious to you? That's been precious to me this week. That God in His grace has looked at me and said, my work, God's work, eternal work. I mean the immortal work. The God of the universe says, Jody, I have a place just for you in my work. Isn't that a blessing? Friends, that's a blessing. Who in their right mind wouldn't want to take God up on something like that? There's a work for you in the house of God. Find it. Get involved in it. It included God's people. It insisted upon God's enabling. God's work cannot be done in the energy of the flesh. God's work cannot be done by just saying, I'm just gonna try the best I can. No, greatest thing people can do in a church setting is they can get on their face and say, Dear God, would you empty me of my flesh and would you fill me with the Holy Spirit of God? Because with the Holy Spirit of God comes everything you need for the work that God has given you to do. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And when He gives you these things and shows you how to do these things, He wants you to reach out and teach others how to do the same thing. Insist upon His power, His enabling. Then we close with this thought. Kind of the same thought that we ended the sermon this morning with. But I'm going to go a little bit more into detail here. This work of the tabernacle included God's people. It insisted upon God's enabling. But it involved the people's heart. It involved the people's heart. Now, notice the language here in verse number 35, verse 29, and then in verses 36, 2 through 7. We'll read this momentarily. In these verses, we see great things taking place. Let's just go ahead and read it. Look at chapter 35, verse 29. Now, this is where we ended, because when you come into chapter 36, you have those who are working and those who are giving. Those who are working, those who are giving. So I'm going back to chapter 35, verse 29 to pick up the giving part. Notice this. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. That means that those who gave the offering, they were giving it from a willing heart. Chapter 36, verse number 2. Notice the language. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man, notice this now, in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work, to do it, to do it. In these verses, some working, some coming to do the work because God had gifted them to do it, and others just bring the materials that they need to get it done. In both cases, those that brought the materials from a willing heart. Those that came because God filled them, God gave them knowledge, God gave them understanding, they were spirit-filled, their heart stirred them to where they wanted to do it. They weren't coming because they had to, they were coming because they wanted to. And in both cases, giving and doing, giving and doing, giving and doing, by the way, we all should be part of both. Giving and doing, giving and doing, giving and doing. Both of them were done from the people's heart. Now get this. What a beautiful picture we have here. Some working, some giving. But the point is how they worked and why they worked. Why they gave and how they gave. And the answer is three words. From their heart. May I say this to you as well? I know as the God-called leader of this local assembly, the pastor, I do not want people serving the Lord because they feel like they have to. I want them serving the Lord because they want to. Now, if I feel that way, how must God feel? By the way, can you not see and sense a little bit how God's heart must be broken? That the work of God, the work of the sanctuary, His eternal work, when He didn't have to include people, He chose to, And a lot of his people are saying, no thanks. Something more important in my life. You say, wait a minute, I've never told God that. Are you involved? Because if you're not involved, that's exactly what you're telling him. No thanks. There's something more important. I'm telling you tonight that we need to let this point grip our heart. Those that worked did it from a heart that was stirred. There's that same word that we learned about the giving this morning. They gave out of a stirred heart. Remember that point? Now the workers are working out of a stirred heart. This means their heart was in their work. They came to do the work because they wanted to, not because they had to. And just like I said this morning about the giving and offering, I'm going to say it again for the workers. If we ever need a stirring among the hearts of God's people for the work of God's house, it's today. I like what J. Vernon McGee said. He said, this is not a job to them. They are not watching the clock. They do not just work a certain number of hours a week and quit. They're not building the tabernacle because it's their duty. They're not working because they have to work. They've been slaves in the past, and here they are slaving again, but this time because they want to. Their hearts are in their work. That is the way you're to do God's work. God's work is to be done with joy and gladness in your heart. Let me ask you a question. In a church this size, it cannot function the way it does without workers. There are many of you working for God. And as your pastor, God knows my heart, I salute you. God bless you. Thank you for so many of you serving in so many different ways. I'm not even going to start naming them because I'll leave something out. Many of you are serving. But here's the question. Is your heart in it? Are you serving from your heart? Or are you serving out of duty? Now, can I say this? Even if it's out of duty, keep serving. Amen. But God's not impressed with somebody who works and their heart has taken a vacation. I need that, friends. We all need that. Then notice in chapter 36, verse 3, notice this. They received of Moses all the offering. He's coming back to the offering. Now, we preached on the offering this morning, but he comes back to it here. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. All the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. In other words, they're bringing the offering. There's people working, using what's being brought, and then all of a sudden the workers come. Hear that? Okay, they stop. They come. Here's what they say. Verse number 5. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering, the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Can I get a glory to God there, friends? By the way, you'll probably never hear a Baptist preacher say, stop your giving, too much. But for this particular offering, this particular specific offering for the tabernacle, there was a certain amount they needed. And the people's hearts were so stirred that they worked on it. And the people's hearts were so stirred that every morning they just kept bringing more and kept bringing more until the workers stopped their work and said, Moses, you're going to have to do something, sir. Good night, they won't quit bringing things. We've got more than enough. It's too much. Moses gets up and says, proclaim it through. Stop bringing an offering. We've got more than enough and too much. Don't bring any more. Can I say this to you? When the hearts of God's people are touched by God, it'll be like that every time. You show me somebody who gives from a grudging heart, and I show you somebody who has lost sight of what God has done in their life. I like what J. Vernon McGee said. He said, this is really amazing in light of the fact that these people were fresh out of slavery. They had never owned anything before. And now that they had riches, you would think they would not be so willing to give it away. But they gave liberally. They gave joyfully. They gave enthusiastically to their God. Let me ask you, why? Because the work of God in their heart meant so much to them that they were stirred. And they wanted to give something back. We need this in our churches. One man said, why do the people bring too much? The answer is found in what motivated them. When we looked earlier at their giving actions, the text reporting their giving emphasized that they gave with willing hearts. Chapter 35, verse 29. The point is not only those who did the work did so from their heart, but so did those who gave the offering. And J. Vernon McGee said, God wants us to give joyfully. He said, there was a motto years ago that said, give till it hurts. God says, if it hurts, don't give. Our worship of God should be with joy. And so should our giving. One man said, people give because they think they have to. People give to keep up with others, etc. But on the other hand, when people's hearts are right, the offering will be right. So I ask you a question as I'm starting to come down for a close. Are you working in God's work? If you say, yes, I'm serving, yes, I'm working, why are you doing it? Are you giving to God's work? Are you bringing a willing offering to the house of God? Say, yes, I'm doing that. I'm being faithful in that, okay? Why? Is it from a willing, stirred heart? Let me conclude this by saying this. And when I say let me conclude it, don't start concluding yourself here, okay? What a privilege for the Lord to allow His people to be involved in His work. The greatest work in the universe. In order to get His work done, He enables His people with different abilities to get the job done as their spirit filled. However, He desires for His people to bring His enabling, His materials, His ability that He gives to people for His work. He desires for His people to bring those things to His feet out of a heart that's stirred because of what He's done for them. And out of a heart that says, you mean I can bring something to God? God will accept an offering from me, then I willingly, voluntarily let Him have it all because He deserves it in my life. You've heard that little chorus? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good to me. Has He been good to you? Yes. Has God been good to you? Has He saved you? Has He changed your life? Hey, He's got a work to do. And He's included you in it. And He wants to give you the power to do it. And He wants your heart to be in it. Now, will you join me and say, God, whatever You've given me to do, it's Yours. Take it. Use it. Do something for Yourself. And when we see the Lord, it will not be, look what I did. it'll be. Look what God did through a life like somebody like me. Could you imagine if this church, this group listening to me tonight, would put this message into practice? Could you imagine what would happen? If you say, He's included me, glory to God. What a privilege. If everybody here would fall on their face and say, Lord, fill me fresh and new with your Spirit. Show me what my gifts are that you've given me to use in the work of the sanctuary, the work of God. Show them to me, reveal them to me, and let me see what you can do and what you want to do through me. And dear Lord, I want you to know, I'm not doing this out of duty. I'm doing this out of a willing heart, because you're stirring me. You're stirring me. Because I realize without your work in my life, I'd be burning in hell. Don't you see this? Will you join your pastor and say, I'm not much, but you can have it all, God. Use me for your glory. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you'll touch this and bless it and breathe upon it. Help us tonight, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I wonder tonight, are you 100% sure that you're a child of God? Have you completely trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Question number two. What has the Lord gifted you to do? Some of you are gifted in the way you work with your hands. Some of you are gifted with your mind. Some of you are gifted in so many unique ways. And I'm telling you that God gives those gifts to His people not just to make a living, but to make a difference in His house, to make a difference in His work. Are you working and are you giving to God out of a stirred and willing heart? If you're here tonight and never trusted Christ, why don't you come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. I never want to let a service come and go without giving people the opportunity to trust Christ. So you come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. And as they begin to play through softly, here's my challenge to this church tonight. I'm not asking, are you serving? I'm not asking, are you working? I'm not asking if you're giving. I'm asking, is your heart stirred? Is your heart willing? Has God so worked in your heart that right now you think to yourself, yes, He's been so good to me, I need to do something for Him? Is He stirring? Is He stirring you? As Brother Gary sings here momentarily, I want to invite you to this altar, if nothing else, to say, God, stir me. Stir my heart. And Lord, would you fill me fresh and new with the Holy Spirit of God? And would you help me to recognize what you've gifted me to do for the work of God? That's my first challenge. My second challenge is, if you are working for God from a willing heart, is God speaking to your heart and stirring your heart tonight to teach? I'm not talking about teaching a class. I'm talking about teaching what you know to others. If you know how to win people to Christ, teach others how to do it. If you know how to do certain things for the house of God, teach others how to do it. If you know how to work with your hands to do mighty things for God and His house, teach others how to do it. Why don't you come and say, God, thank you for giving me those gifts. Would you help me to teach others? By the way, that starts with your own family. Teach your children, your grandchildren. Teach others, teach others, teach others. Would you do it? Would you submit yourself to it? Would you ask God to stir your heart for this? And would you ask God to help you teach others also? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, Brother Gary's singing. And if God is speaking to your heart, would you come and would you come now, please? Would you do it? Come right now. Would you do it as he sings? Come now, please.
Take my life and let
I want to be used of God. I want to teach others.
Lord,
I want to find my gift so I can use it.
Take my
I want to be spirit-filled.
And let
May the Lord help us with this. May God challenge us with this. Teaching others also. Teaching others also. Let's sing one more verse, Brother Gary. We're just about through.
Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne.
I'd like to ask several of our ladies, if you wouldn't mind. We have Miss Pam Pruitt here. She's been found out recently that she has more cancer in her hip and pelvis area. I'd like to conclude our service, our closing prayer, by surrounding her. So some of you ladies want to come now, if you would. And we'll close in prayer here. While we're preparing for that closing prayer, let me give some instructions to the church. There's several meetings, a couple of meetings tonight. First of all, the cancer ministry meeting will be meeting in the chapel, so if you'll go to that, if you're involved in that meeting right after church. Secondly, there's a meeting for all children who are currently in 3rd through 6th grade. You're in that grade now, 3rd through 6th grade. A meeting about junior camp at Mount Moriah Christian Camp. That's tonight. And where are you meeting for that? In the blue room? Okay, a meeting in the blue room for those children and parents there. Teenagers and parents of teens, I know I'm giving several things here. A reminder that tonight's a deadline to sign up for a t-shirt if you'd like to order one. A sign-up sheet's on the bulletin board in the lobby. And then a reminder to the single young adults that you're invited to together for a time of fellowship at Dairy Queen following the service this evening. So single young adults in Danny and Becca's class, Dairy Queen, cancer meeting in the chapel, Mount Moriah meeting in the blue room, and sign up for the t-shirt, parents and teens, for that tonight, okay? Let's pray for Miss Pruitt, asking God to help her, breathe upon her, touch her, bless her, help her with this. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this service. And Lord, I do pray that you will help us to see the exalted privilege that you've given to us just to be included in your work. It's a blessing for you to include us. And Lord, I pray that you help us to see that we desperately need you and the power of your Holy Spirit to get it done. And I pray that you help us to give and to work out of willing, stirred hearts. Stir us again, dear Lord. And Father, I pray for one of our precious ladies tonight, Miss Pam Pruitt. Thank you, Lord, that you know her by name. And she means more to you than she does to any person on planet Earth, including her husband. We thank you that he loves her dearly. And Josh loves her dearly. But Lord, help them to see the love of God. And even though they've so-called received some bad news, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'll give peace. I pray that you'll give comfort. And I pray that you will bless her. Thank you for her sweet spirit. Thank you for her strong faith in this. And I pray, if it's your will, that you'll heal her again. That you'll rid her out of this out of her body. But if you choose otherwise, I pray that you use her either way as a gospel witness to win people to Jesus Christ. Bless now, I pray, and bless her. Bless this church. Help us to go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you, friends. Thank you for being here tonight.